The Vain Self-Flatteries of the Sinner, a sermon by Jonathan Edwards, based on Psalm 36, verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. In the foregoing verse, David says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." That is, when he saw that the wicked went on in sin, and in a loud way of wickedness, it convinced him that they were not afraid of those terrible judgments and of that wrath with which God had threatened sinners. If the sinner were afraid of these, he could never go on so securely in sin as he does. It was a strange thing that men who enjoyed such light as they did in the land of Israel, who read and heard those many awful threatenings which were written in the book of the law, should not be afraid to go on in sin. But the psalmist says they flatter themselves in their own eyes. They have something or other which they make a foundation of encouragement, whereby they persuade themselves that they shall escape those judgments, and that makes them put far away the evil day. In this manner the sinner proceeds until his iniquity be found to be hateful. That is, until he finds by experience that it is a more dreadful thing to sin against God and break his holy commandments than he imagined. He thinks sin to be sweet and hides it as a sweet morsel under his tongue. He loves it and flatters himself in it, till at length he finds by experience that it is bitter as gall and wormwood. Though he thinks the commission of sin to be lovely, yet he will find the fruit of it to be hateful, and what he cannot endure. Proverbs 23, verse 32, "At last it will bite like a serpent and sting like an adder." Here observe, the subject spoken of is a wicked man of whom the psalmist had been speaking in the foregoing verse. His action in flattering himself in his own eyes, i.e. he makes himself in his case to appear to himself or in his own eyes better than it is. How long he continues so to do, until his iniquity be found to be hateful, which may be taken for either his sin itself, as the wicked will see how odious sin is to God, when he shall feel the effects of his hatred, and how hateful to angels and saints, or rather the cause is here put for the effect, the tree for its fruit, and he will find his iniquity to be hateful, as he will find the hatefulness and feel the terribleness of the fruit of his iniquity. Hence it appears that wicked men will generally flatter themselves with hopes of escaping punishment till it actually comes upon them. There are but few sinners who despair, who give up the cause, and conclude with themselves that they shall go to hell. Yet there are but few who do not go to hell. It is to be feared that many go to hell every day out of this country. Yet very few of them allow themselves to believe that they are in any great danger of that punishment. They go on sinning and thus traveling in the direct road to the pit. Yet they persuade themselves that they shall never fall into it. Point number one. Sinners flatter themselves with the hope of impunity. We are so taught in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 and 19. "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God. Lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst." For it is supposed that they whose hearts turn away from God and are roots that bear gall and wormwood generally bless themselves in their hearts, saying, "We shall have peace." See also Psalm 49:17-18. "When he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him, though whilst he lived, he blessed his soul." And Psalm 50:21. "The things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes." It is very evident that sinners flatter themselves that they shall escape punishment, otherwise they would be in dreadful and continual distress. They could never live so cheerfully as they now do. Their lives would be filled with sorrow and mourning, and they would be in continual uneasiness and distress, as much as those that are exercised with some violent pain of body. But it is apparent that men are careless and secure. They are not much concerned about future punishment, and they cheerfully pursue their business and recreations. Therefore, they undoubtedly flatter themselves that they shall not be eternally miserable in hell, as they are threatened in the Word of God. It is evident that they flatter themselves with hopes that they shall escape punishment, otherwise it would certainly be restrained, at least from many of those sins in which they now live. They would not proceed in willful courses of sin. The transgression of the wicked convinced the psalmist, and is enough to convince everyone that there is no fear of God before his eyes, and that he flatters himself in his own eyes. It would be impossible for men allowedly to do those very things which they know are threatened with everlasting destruction if they did not some way encourage themselves that they should nevertheless escape that destruction. The second point is some of the various ways in which sinners flatter themselves in their own eyes. First, some flatter themselves with a secret hope that there is no such thing as another world. They hear a great deal of preaching and a great deal of talk about hell and the eternal judgment, but though things do not seem to them to be real, they never saw hell, nor the devils and damned spirits, and therefore are ready to say within themselves, "How do I know that there is any such thing as another world? When the beasts die, there is an end of them, and how do I know but that it will be so with me?" Perhaps all these things are nothing but the inventions of men, nothing but cunningly devised fables. Such thoughts are apt to rise in the minds of sinners, and the devil sets in to enforce them. Such thoughts are an ease to them, therefore they wish that they were true, and that makes them the more ready to think that they are so, so that they are hardened in the way of sin by infidelity and atheistical thoughts. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Psalm 94, verses 6 and 7. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, "The Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it." Number 2. Some flatter themselves that death is a great way off, and that they shall hereafter have much opportunity to seek salvation, and they think if they earnestly seek it, though it be a great while hence, they shall obtain, although they see no reason to conclude that they shall live long, and perhaps they do not positively conclude that they shall, yet it has not come into their minds that their lives are really uncertain, and that it is doubtful whether they will live another year. Such a thought as this does not take any hold of them, and although they do not absolutely determine that they shall live to old age or to middle age, yet they secretly flatter themselves with such an imagination. They are disposed to believe so. They act upon it and run the venture. Men believe that things will be as they choose to have them, without reason, sometimes without the appearance of reason, as is most apparent in this case. Psalm 49, verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. The prepossession and desire of men to have it so is a principal thing that makes them so believe. However, there are several other things which they use as arguments to flatter themselves. Perhaps they think that since they are at present in health or in youth, or that since they are useful men, do a great deal of good, and both themselves and others pray for the continuance of their lives, they are not likely to be removed by death very soon. If they live many years in the world, they think it very probable that they shall be converted before they die, as they expect hereafter to have much more convenient opportunities to become converted than they now have. And by some means or other, they think they shall get through their work before they arrive at old age. Number 3. Some flatter themselves that they lead moral and orderly lives, and therefore think that they shall not be damned. They think with themselves that they live not in any vice, that they take care to wrong no man, are just and honest dealers, that they are not addicted to hard drinking or to uncleanness or to bad language, that they keep the Sabbath strictly, are constant attendants on the public worship and maintain the worship of God in their families. Therefore they hope that God will not cast them into hell. They don't see why God should be so angry with them, as that would imply, seeing they are so orderly and regular in their walk. They don't see that they have done enough to anger him to that degree. And if they have angered him, they imagine they have also done a great deal to pacify him. If they are not as yet converted, and it be necessary that they should experience any other conversion in order to their salvation, they hope that their orderly and strict lives will move God to give them converting grace. They hope that surely God will not see those that live as they do go to hell. Thus they flatter themselves as those, in Luke 18, verse 9, that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Number 4, some make the advantages under which they live an occasion of self-flattery. They flatter themselves that they live in a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, and among a religious people, where many have been converted, and they think it will be much easier for them to be saved on that account. Thus, they abuse the grace of God to their destruction. They do that which the Scriptures call despising the riches of God's goodness, Romans 2, verse 4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Some flatter themselves that they are born of godly parents who are dear to God, who have often and earnestly prayed for them and hope that their prayers will be heard, and encourages them to go on in the way of neglecting their souls. The Jews had great dependence upon this, that they were the children of Abraham, John 8, verse 33. They make their boast, we be Abraham's seed, and in verse 39, Abraham is our father. Some flatter themselves with their own intentions. They intend to give themselves liberty for a while longer, and then to reform. Though now they neglect their souls and are going on in sin, yet they intend or long to bestir themselves, to leave off their sins, and to set themselves to seek God, to hear that there is great encouragement for those who earnestly seek God, that they shall find him. So they intend to do. They propose to seek with great deal of earnestness. They are told that there are many who seek to enter the kingdom of heaven who shall not be able, but they intend not only to seek, but to strive. However, for the present they allow themselves in their ease, sloth, and pleasure, minding only earthly things. Or if they should be seized with some mortal distemper, and should draw near to the grave before the time which they lay out in their minds for reformation, they think how earnestly they would pray and cry to God for mercy. And as they hear God is a merciful God, who takes no delight in the death of sinners, they hence flatter themselves that they shall move God to have pity on them. There are but few sinners, knowing themselves to be such, who have not intentions of future repentance and reformation, but few who do not flatter themselves that they shall in good earnest seek God some time or other. Hell is full of good intenders who never prove to be true performers. Acts 24, verse 25, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. There are some who flatter themselves that they do and have done a great deal for their salvation, and therefore hope they shall obtain, when indeed they neither do what they ought to do, nor what they might do, even in their present state of unregeneracy, nor are they in any likely way to be converted. They think they are striving, when they actually neglect many moral and some instituted duties, nor do they exert themselves as if it were for their lives. They are not violent for the kingdom of heaven. There are doubtless many such. Many are concerned and are seeking to do many things and think that they are in a fair way to obtain the kingdom of God. Yet there is great danger that they will prove at last to be some of the foolish virgins and be found without oil in their vessels. Some hope by their strivings to obtain salvation of themselves. They have a secret imagination that they shall by degrees work in themselves sorrow and repentance of sin, and love towards God and Jesus Christ. Their striving is not so much an earnest seeking to God as a striving to do themselves that which is a work of God. Many who are now seeking have this imagination. They belabor, read, pray, hear sermons, and go to private meetings with the view of making themselves holy and of working in themselves holy affections. Many who only project and design to turn to God hereafter are apt to think that it is an easy thing to be converted, that it is a thing which will be in their own power at any time when they shall earnestly set themselves to it. Application. Hence we learn one reason why there are but few saved and why so many perish from under the gospel. All men know that they must die, and that all that sit under the light of the gospel have been told many a time that after this there is another world, that there are but two states in that other world, a state of eternal happiness and a state of eternal misery, that there is but one way of escaping the misery and obtaining the blessedness of eternity, which is by obtaining an interest in Christ through faith in Him, and that this life is the only opportunity of obtaining an interest in Christ. Yet men are so much given to flatter themselves in those ways which we have mentioned, that there are but few that seasonably take care of their salvation. Indeed, they cannot but in some measure be concerned about their souls. Yet they flatter themselves with one thing or other, so that they are kept steadily and uninterruptedly going on in a broad way to destruction. Hence we learn a reason why awakening truths of Scripture and awakening sermons make no more impression upon men. It is in itself an awful and surprising thing that God's denunciations of eternal misery and threatenings of casting sinners into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever does not affect them. It does not startle them. The truth is, they flatter themselves by such means as we have mentioned that this dreadful misery is not for them, that they shall escape it, though multitudes of others are involved in it. Don't take these threatenings to themselves. They seem to think that they do not belong to them. How many are there who, for all the awakening sermons they have heard, are yet secure in sin, and who, although they are sensible that they are in a Christless condition and are still going on in sin, yet intend to go to heaven and expect that by some means or other they shall arrive there? They are often told that God is very angry with them, yet they think God is a very merciful God and they shall be able to pacify Him. If they are told how uncertain life is, that does not awaken them, because they flatter themselves with long life. If they are told how dangerous it is to delay the business of religion, they promise themselves that they will hereafter engage in it with more earnestness than others, and so obtain the end, the salvation of their souls. Others, when they are told that many shall seek, who shall not be able to obtain, think surely that they have done so much for salvation, they shall not be denied. Let every sinner examine whether he does not flatter himself in some of those ways which have been mentioned. What is it in your own mind which makes you think it is safe for you to delay turning to God? What is it that encourages you to run such a venture as you do by delaying this necessary work? Is it that you hope there is no such state as heaven or hell, and have a suspicion that there is no God? Is this that which makes you secure? Or is it that you are not much afraid, but that you shall have opportunity enough a great while hence to mind such things? Is it an intention of a future seeking at a more convenient season? And are you persuaded that God will not hearken to you then, after you shall have so long turned a deaf ear to His commands and gracious invitations? Are you encouraged to commit sin because you hope to repent of it? Are you encouraged by the mercy of God to be His enemies? And do you resolve still to provoke Him to anger because you think He is so easily pacified? Or do you think that your conversion is in your own power, and that you can turn to God when you please? Is it because you have been born of godly parents that you are so secure? Or do you imagine that you are in a fair way to be converted? If you think you are in a way of earnest seeking, consider whether or not you do not mind other things yet more. If you imagine that you have it in your own power to work yourselves up to repentance, consider that you must assuredly give up that imagination before you can have repentance wrought in you. If you think yourselves already converted, and that encourages you to give yourselves a greater liberty in sinning, this is a certain sign that you are not converted. Therefore, abandon all these ways of flattering yourselves. No longer follow the devil's bait, and let nothing encourage you to go on in sin, but immediately and henceforth seek God with all your heart, soul, and strength.